In today's gospel, Christ shows us in parables what the kingdom of God is like. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what was lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How many of you here this morning have ever held a mustard seed in your hand? Well, you don't count. It's a few. Most of us don't have any experience with mustard seeds. So what I invite you to do is go to Google and Google it, and they'll show you life-size pictures of a mustard seed. The best way I can describe it is this. Take a lead pencil, cut off the tip, the little piece of lead, cut that in half, and that's the size of a mustard seed. Pretty small. In the ancient world, mustard seed was the way they described anything tiny. Anything really tiny was described as a mustard seed or like a mustard seed. If somebody were to say to you, "Your brain is the size of a mustard seed," it's not a compliment, believe me. But the interesting thing about these mustard seeds is this. The tiniest little seed, when you plant it, can grow into an immense, immense bush. There are some travelers to the Holy Land today, for example, who will come across mustard bushes that are 12 feet high, 12 feet high and broad. The birds of the air actually come and nest in them. But when you look at that mustard seed at the beginning, who could ever believe that a huge plant like that would come from it? It seems almost unimaginable. Maybe the best example for us that we're familiar with would be an acorn and an oak tree. Take an acorn and look at an acorn. And if you didn't know better and somebody would say to you, this is going to become a huge tree, you'd say, I don't think so. But then look at a huge oak tree. That huge oak tree came from this tiny little beginning. But see, that's the point Jesus is making this morning in the gospel. He's saying that the kingdom of God, which begins very, very small with his word, he begins the kingdom of God in an almost indistinguishable way. But he says at the end, it's going to be huge, immense, unimaginable. From this little beginning you think you see here, you can't even begin to understand how big it's going to be at the end. And we can see examples of that from history. I offer you just a couple this morning. Go back to the beginning of the 400s, the year 410, more or less. Now, by that time, the Emperor Constantine had made Christianity the official religion of the empire. But there still was a lot of pagan Rome that was left. And among the things that still existed was the gladiatorial games. But one day, a monk by the name of Telemachus, he was living out in the desert. He had this impetus to go to Rome, so he went, wandered into the Colosseum, and saw these gladiatorial games going on, saw these men fighting, killing one another, the crowd cheering, and he just was appalled. How could this be? How could people be killing one another in Christian Rome now? So watching all this, he couldn't constrain himself. He jumped down into the arena and tried to separate two gladiators who were fighting. Of course, when the crowd saw this, they began to yell at him and scream, get him out of the way. They wanted to see the games continue. And finally, one of the gladiators, responding to the crowd, killed Telemachus, stuck him with his sword, killed him. There he was lying on the ground of the Colosseum, his blood seeping into the sand. And then something kind of amazing happened. The crowd, seeing this monk lying there like this, grew silent. And bit by bit, the crowd filed out of the Colosseum. And that was the last time, the last day, there were ever any gladiatorial contests in Rome. The emperor, hearing of what had happened, made gladiatorial contests illegal. So imagine, one man jumps into the arena, gives up his life, of course, but hundreds of years of history are changed, and hundreds of thousands, who knows, thousands of deaths prevented. From a little beginning, a little seed like that, comes a whole change, a whole new way of looking at things. Fast forward now to the 1700s in England. The slave trade is going on in England. Hundreds of English slavers go to Africa, kidnap mostly African men, bring them back, sell them as slaves. Horrendous. There was a very small group of abolitionists in England at the time, led by a man named Wilbur Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a member of the House of Commons, and he had a little small group of people who were trying to get the law changed, but nobody listened to them. They were ineffectual, very small. Every year, Wilberforce would enter a law asking for the slave trade to be condemned. Every year, it would get voted down. Nobody wanted to end that. But this little small group of people, bit by bit, pricked the conscience of the English people until in 1786, a law was finally passed condemning the slave trade and making it illegal. 36 years it took. 36 years. Of course, it took a lot longer in this country, but 36 years. But again, from a little small beginning where thousands of lives were ruined, comes a change. And Wilberforce was a very devout Christian man, believing that the slave trade was contrary to the will of God. So we see from the little tiny beginning, something magnificent develops. And that's what Jesus is telling us today, that you and I should never not do the smallest good thing we can, because we never know what's going to result from it. We never know. A kind word, a kind deed, a word of forgiveness, an act of generosity, even very small, we never know what's going to develop from that in the grace of God. We may never see it. We may not see what happens. May happen only down the road. But from the smallest thing can come a great result. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. But of course, remember this. He's saying, you've got to do something. You've got to plant a seed. You've got to do something. Many of you here probably are familiar with the great British author and theologian C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of things. More in this country, he's probably better known for his fairy tales. He wrote the Tales of Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, and so forth. But he was a great Christian believer, taught at Oxford University for many years. But if you're looking for some entertaining and enlightening spiritual reading, pick up C.S. Lewis' The Screwtape Letters. Screwtape Letters are a series of letters, imaginary, of course, written by a senior demon named Wormwood to his demon in training, his nephew demon in training, Screwtape. And Wormwood in these letters is trying to teach Screwtape how to seduce human souls. And it's a whole series of letters, imaginary, of course, but wonderful insight into spiritual things, into the human nature. But here's one of the letters. Wormwood says to Screwtape this. He says, you know, one of the best ways of seducing people and getting them to not grow the kingdom of God is this. Get them to focus and be satisfied on looking at the big picture. Look at the big picture. For example, have them look at world hunger and have them think to themselves, oh, world hunger is horrible. It's so horrible to see all those people dying of hunger. You know, it's terrible. I'm going to pray about world hunger. He said, have them think that way and feel good about thinking that way. But never let them give a donation to a food bank. Never let them do something to get rid of hunger. Make them satisfied with the big picture and feeling good about how bad they feel about that, but never let them do anything about hunger. Or again, get them to think about how awful war is and how awful violence is and to desire world peace and feel good about being somebody who really wants world peace, even going to pray about world peace. Have them do all that and be happy with that. But never let them heal a division in their own family. Let them never bring peace to a situation of conflict where they are. Keep them from doing anything. See, that's the point. The smallest thing we do in the grace of God, in the power of God, can become something wonderful. But we've got to do something. Even the littlest thing. That's what Jesus is urging us today. You know, there are many people, many scholars who say that when Jesus told these parables about the growth of the kingdom, he was doing it to encourage his disciples. They were out there trying to, you know, teach, and they were discouraged because they didn't seem to be having much effect. And Jesus says, no, no, you're planting seeds that will grow into something magnificent. You just do what you can, do what you can, and leave the rest to God. But God will bring great fruit. So today, you and I, looking at this, let's never pass up an opportunity to do good, the smallest good, because we never know what can result in the grace of God. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. May God bless you.